This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's a cold, wet day in New Hampshire, but voters are turning out to cast their first-in-the-nation presidential primary ballots. The candidates are visiting polling places. They can't go inside, but in this case, candidate Pete Buttigieg brought donuts to a polling place in Nashua.
Grant, how you're feeling today?
Awesome.
Feeling fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Shaping up beautifully.
Going into the balloting today, polls showed Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders were leading in New Hampshire. Two of the nation's largest wireless carriers are set to join forces. A merger between Sprint and T-Mobile has been given a go-ahead by a judge today. Many states, including California and New York, were trying to stop the merger with lawsuits. They were worried about less competition and higher prices. The deal includes a provision that the two companies cover 97% of the nation with a 5G network within 3 years. And this is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build a wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation of world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
President Trump wants to spend more money to get Americans back to the moon and to someday get to Mars before any other nation. Trump's budget proposal released yesterday includes over $25 billion for NASA, including money for human lunar landers as part of the Artemis program. There's another confirmed case of the new coronavirus in the United States, bringing the number of confirmed cases here to 13. Nobody's died from it. China says, though, 108 more people have died there from the virus, raising the death toll in the country to at least 1,016, and more than 42,600 people have been infected. In Geneva, the World Health Organization has convened a two-day meeting to discuss it. Executive Director of the Health Emergencies Program, Mike Ryan, says the world has fallen short in its response to this outbreak.
We haven't put in place, quite frankly, the preparedness mechanisms, the communications mechanisms, the governance mechanisms to deal effectively with this kind of event.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Back to some election news. As former Vice President Joe Biden made an ear-popping comment to a 21-year-old woman in New Hampshire recently, here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
As he calls a woman...
It's a good question. Number one, I was a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
A female student, 21 years old, says she was insulted by Biden after she simply asked about his poor showing in Iowa.
Three Democratic senators are calling out Amazon over injuries to workers. Ohio's Sherrod Brown, as well as Bernie Sanders, and Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin writing a letter to founder Jeff Bezos asking for answers after work-related injuries went up over the holidays. Reports showing the e-commerce giant's injury rates at its American warehouses are higher than the industry average. The senators are urging Amazon to put worker safety ahead of profits. Google's human resources chief is leaving as tensions between employees there and management continue to build. Eileen Naughton will leave later this year after heading up the tech giant's HR department since 2016. Google has doubled its workforce since then, but tensions have been ramping up, especially over just the past couple of years. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
I took my family on a vacation like the one you're about to hear about, and we had an amazing time. And the best part about it was the price.
If you're looking for an amazing, fun-filled vacation for you and your family for an unbelievable price, keep listening for details on how you can get a fabulous four-day vacation for just $99. Westgate Resorts has been a leader in affordable vacation plans since 1982, and now you can choose from over 10 beautiful resort destinations across the United States, like Orlando, Florida, or the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. So whether you love world famous theme parks or the tranquility of nature, Westgate Resorts has your next dream vacation. Plus, if you're one of the first 100 to call, we'll tell you about our $29 Las Vegas special. Call right now to book your amazing vacation for only $99.
800-883-1612. 800-883-1612. Call 800-883-1612.
This advertisement is being used for the purpose of soliciting sales of a timeshare plan. Restrictions apply. Go to westgateterms.com for complete offer terms.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, back with you 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And we've got Jonathan Horn going to be joining us, author and former White House presidential speechwriter, and whose Robert E. Lee biography, The Man Who Would Not Be Washington, was a Washington Post bestseller. In his latest book, brand new, hot off the shelves, The Final Years and Forgotten Struggle, Washington's End, is about the astonishing true story of George Washington's last years, the personalities plotting and private torment that unraveled America's first post-presidency. You know, in the past, we've heard so much about our first president, but very little has been focused on the years of his post-presidency, which is incredibly fascinating when you get into it. And Jonathan, we're grateful that you decided to hone in on this, because this is a bit of history that needs to be considered.
Well, thanks so much for having me today.
Well, congratulations on this book. So let's talk about how this came about for you. How, when this started to, you know, it seems to me like this is one of those things you start to see and you go, wait a minute. And as you research it, you go, not a whole lot. I mean, usually when you hear about Washington's final years, like you say, it's maybe an epilogue or something, or, you know, something in the back of the book, but nothing like this.
Right. I think one of the reasons is that George Washington did so much earlier in his life. He fought in the French and Indian War. He was the commander during the American Revolution. He presided over the Constitutional Convention. He served two terms as president. And by the time biographers get through all that, they're out of space and they're out of time. And as a result, the story of George Washington's final years has never really been told. George Washington sort of imagined himself just going back to his Mount Vernon estate and living out his days in peace as a farmer. Mm-hmm. But his final days ended up being anything but peaceful. They were filled with intrigue, controversy, and personal torment.
Well, here it is, as you said, for all that he invested in this great American experiment, you know, and for the leadership wanting him to be king. He didn't want to be king, but he goes along and says, okay, I'll be president. And he, as you said, you know, all the battles that he had to fight in, you know, leading up to, and then even as president of the United States, and now saying, look, I've done my bidding. It's time for me to rest and enjoy some R&R. That's not the way history would have it, because his job was not done.
That's right. And it's really important to say, as you just said, that George Washington really did want to leave office. Mm-hmm. In fact, he had wanted to leave office after his first term as president. But people had said, if George Washington leaves the presidency, the country will fall apart. Mm-hmm. Now, by the time George Washington finished his second term as president, there was no argument that could convince him to stay for a third. He was ready to go back home. Mm-hmm. But a little bit more than a year later, he found himself called out of retirement and called back to command the armies of the United States amid a war scare with France. So he ends up becoming commander-in-chief all over again.
Right. Well, and the thing is that we're reminded in the study of history at this time, you know, just even the personalities of one George Washington and the number two president, John Adams, that there were gifts and talents that they brought to the Republic that were needed at specific times. And sadly, with us going back to war, we needed a general again.
That's right. And John Adams was sort of aware of this when he nominated George Washington to be commander-in-chief of the armies of the United States. He knew that at this moment people were going to wish they had a general back as president. And, of course, Adams was no general. He had extensive diplomatic experience,
yes,
but he had never fought like George Washington had. And he knew that George Washington was the figurehead, at least, that the army was going to need if the United States was going to have a military buildup, which Adams, by the way, had some reservations about. And as it turned out, it was not long before Adams and Washington were in a very serious personal feud over who would be Washington's second in command.
Right. You know, it's interesting because the thing about history that you can always count on is that it repeats itself, right? You know, because right now I'm thinking in terms of the partisanship that's taking place in today's America. And, of course, we only know what we're closest to. So this has got to be the worst of partisanship that ever existed, lest we forget. And as you remind us in Washington's end, that partisanship was running rampant then, too.
That's exactly the key point. And so many people during Washington's final years thought they were living in the last days of the Republic because they thought that the emergence of political parties, increasing polarization of society, would tear America apart. But America endured, and I think actually that should give us confidence today as we look at our country. Our country endured great challenges in its early history, and it's going to endure great challenges today.
Why the importance of political parties, do you think?
Well, George Washington had serious reservations about political parties. In his famous farewell address, he discouraged Americans against political parties overall. He thought that they were they worked against the spirit of self-government. But by the time Washington died, he had actually concluded, somewhat despondently so, that you had no choice. You had to be either a Federalist or a Republican, and Republican is a different party than our modern Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And he himself said he had to be a Federalist. He felt he had no choice because that's the way everyone saw him.
Right. Now, help people understand in terms of the difference between a Federalist and a Republican. How exactly did he see the difference?
Well, I think the difference in some sense was, first of all, the Republican Party really developed in opposition to Washington's administration. It developed out of fear that there was too much consolidation of centralized power in the Washington administration. There was also a foreign policy difference between the two parties. The Republican Party was much more sympathetic to the French Revolution happening across the ocean, and the Federalist Party saw the events in France, which included, by the way, the guillotining of the king,
yes,
as something to be worried about. And I think that's the backdrop you need to understand how important it was that Washington was voluntarily stepping down as president, because across the ocean, the only way anyone ever gave up power was when they lost their head on a guillotine.
Exactly. That's a tough way to go, as they would say, right?
Right, exactly. She's got to be about the worst.
So he goes, I'm not going to stick around that long to where they want to remove my head. I mean, it's one thing politically to talk that way, but something else to actually see it. And here it is in the midst of this reality. This is what he is seeing and having to deal with. And, so much for retirement. He's brought back into the fray of things. Thank you very much, my old friend John Adams, huh?
That's right. That's right. He's brought back by Adams, and he's brought into feuds with other future presidents.
Now, I want to get into deeper detail when we come back. We've got to go to a quick break here. Jonathan Horn is with us, and Jonathan is a former White House presidential speechwriter and the author of The Man Who Would Not Be Washington, which was Washington's Post bestseller. He's appeared on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, everywhere you've seen him. And he's here with us today on Bill Martinez, and we're talking about his just-released book, The Final Years and Forgotten Struggle, Washington's End. And, of course, his book available at all the usual places, and it will be linked on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. So stay with us. We've got more from Jonathan after this.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
February is Heart Health Month. Give your heart the attention it deserves with Quantum Nutrition Lab's three featured supplements formulated to support healthy blood pressure, healthy blood sugar, and circulation. Each are buy two, get the third one free. And be sure to get your free copy of the Biofield Diet. Now is the time to commit to making your heart health a priority year-round. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Who let the dogs out?
Who
let the dogs out?
Who
let the dogs out?
He really didn't
say that, did he? Bill Martinez.
So you're arguably the candidate with the greatest advantage in this race. You've been the vice president. You weren't burdened down by the impeachment trials. So how do you explain the performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
It's a good question. Number one, I was a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you.
Who let the dogs out?
Jonathan Hornan is with us, the former White House presidential speechwriter for President George W. Bush. Jonathan, I got to imagine when you hear stuff like this, having written speeches for president and giving them counsel on things to say and not to say, when you hear of things like this, and I know comedians like politicians sometimes, you know, you get A material, B, C material sometimes in an attempt to relate and maybe be funny, but when that C material comes out, it's like chalk it in the chalkboard in the wrong direction, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a hard job, of course, to come up with the right thing to say without a speech, and some politicians are better at it than other politicians, as we've seen. Mm-hmm. But, sometimes it just all comes out the wrong way.
So we just had to chuckle on that, and of course he was channeling his old Duke, John Wayne, just not very good, as they might say. We're talking about Jonathan Horne's just released book, The Final Years: Forgotten Struggle, Washington's End. You know, kind of amazing when you think about the heart of George Washington. He was a unifying agent. I mean, he thought of us being as one, and the power of having unity of spirit. And here he is, not wanting to be king. Maybe he may have afterwards regretted that, because when you're king, you don't have to deal with so much, you know, politics. But in this Democratic Republic that was new and a great new experiment, you're having to deal with this partisanship. And he was conflicted because he saw this as a challenge to that spirit of unity, did he not?
That's absolutely right. And Washington occupies this very strange place because, on one hand, he is the only unifying figure in the United States of America. But at the same time, as the years go on, he himself begins to be attacked by the opposition press. And by the end of his life, he's quite bitter. Mm-hmm. About some of the things he's read about himself in the papers. There have been accusations that he wants to be a king, which he feels very strongly about refuting. There's even one opposition paper that accuses him of having colluded with the British during the American Revolution, if you can believe it.
Yeah,
and Washington actually spends his last day in office trying to refute that lie.
Mm. Amazing, and he's going, "Where's Twitter when I needed it?" Right.
Right, and that's exactly right. It wasn't as easy to reach to correct things back then. And so he actually deposited something in the State Department, just for the record, saying this was a lie that he had colluded with the British during the American Revolution. So in some sense, you see parallels with today. There was concern in Washington's time about new forms of media, and again, you know, we should have confidence looking at that, because it reminds us that we have endured things like we've endured today, and we've gotten through it, and we just have some perspective on American history.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, here you experienced, you know, George W. Bush's White House, his administration. I thought oftentimes, I expected the president to speak up, but he seemed to be one to take it on the chin, unlike President Trump, who's not going to let anything go by. I mean, somebody takes a shot at him, he saves no quarter, as we know. But your boss was very, I don't know, I don't want to say accepting necessarily, but things that they said about him I thought were so unfair and certainly not true. But he didn't seem to defend himself at every turn like the current president.
You know what was very incredible about President Bush and being in that White House is things would be said and we would all be extremely offended that they would have been said, and he just didn't seem to care, to be honest with you. I think these things, he knew that was part of his job. I think that might have been perspective from having seen his father be in the White House, and he knew that was part of his job to take those insults, and he's just kept focused on what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Does that, I mean, in dealing with this, I mean, in this information age in which we live in, cancel culture, some have said hatred felt from one side or the other. I mean, those are really harsh words. And I keep thinking that maybe we might get to that point where we punch ourselves out. Maybe Washington felt the same way, that maybe everybody would punch us away and he could just go back and do what he intended to do, and that was retire and enjoy his gold. Golden years, but instead, you know, just like today, we're caught in the struggle, and maybe we just need to all be big boys and girls and understand. Look at, you know, freedom is not free. It's not casual. It's something that you have to be vigilant about, and be prepared to defend.
Right. And I think actually, if you look at Washington's last years, for example, he had a former member of his administration, his ambassador to France, James Monroe, who we know today as the future president of the United States, wrote a tell-all book attacking Washington's administration after Washington had retired. And Washington, you could tell, so badly wanted to respond to this book, but he wouldn't let himself do it publicly. So privately, he scribbles angry annotations all over the book about how wrong it is, but he never goes public with it.
Well, yeah, and again, I don't know, and every man is different how they want to handle certain things, because sometimes I think when you, if you're, you know, your response sometimes can be worse than what was actually said about you. So it comes with a double-edged sword, right?
Right, and I think, for example, for example, President Trump's State of the Union address, which I thought was a very effective address, for example, he didn't mention the word impeachment. He simply just said there are no victories in this chamber that are not victories for the American people. And that was actually a very effective way at dealing with the impeachment in front of a national audience, I think, because it said basically the people at home aren't thinking about this. They're thinking about the economic statistics that I rattled off to start the speech.
Exactly. And you talk about a speech that was unifying. I think this was his most unifying speech, talking about all the successes that touched just about every aspect of humanity and demographic in our country.
I think that it was a very effective speech. And actually, to be perfectly honest, all of his State of the Union addresses have been quite effective. The format suits his style extremely well, but he took it to a different level last week. And the moment that stuck with me was the moment when he reunited a military spouse with her husband.
I know.
I mean, that was incredible.
I'll tell you, Jonathan, people don't know this about me necessarily, so I'll share it with you. When I was in the Marine Corps, I was based out of Camp Pendleton, and one of the jobs that I had was I was blessed to take, guys who were coming in, you know, from Vietnam to be reunited with their families on Bob Barker's show to, you know, Truth or Consequences. And I did that for the last year that I was in the service, and every time, I mean, without fail, it was just absolutely precious and heartwarming to me. And again, watching that the other night, it reminded me of those days driving into Hollywood from Camp Pendleton, bringing this soldier, you know, with me that had no idea what he was about to receive and the blessing that was, ahead of him. But it was just really, really, really precious. And these moments that you see, whether it's there at the State of the Union or on high school or grade school, you know, campuses and that are just always very touching.
What an incredible piece of history to be part of for you.
Yeah, good fun. Well, here it is. Ironically enough, we have a president who was a unifying agent who thought about bringing all parties together. And, of course, here he is. It's now the seat of our government in Washington, D.C., is a place of contention and partisanship and duking it out as we continue to do so with this great American experiment. And so all is well as it was then and is now, right?
I think so. I think that's we should have confidence in our future, I think.
Well, congratulations on the book, linked at our website, as I mentioned, at BillMartinezLive.com. The Final Years and Forgotten Struggle, Washington's End. This is a great read, and this is awesome. Thank you so much for doing this, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years, so now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's a cold, wet day in New Hampshire, but voters are turning out to cast their first-in-the-nation presidential primary ballots. The candidates are visiting polling places. They can't go inside, but in this case, candidate Pete Buttigieg brought donuts to a polling place in Nashua.
Can we ask how you're feeling today?
Awesome.
Feeling fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Shaping up beautifully.
Going into the balloting today, polls showed Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders were leading in New Hampshire. Two of the nation's largest wireless carriers are said to join forces. A merger between Sprint and T-Mobile has been given a go-ahead by a judge today. Many states, including California and New York, were trying to stop the merger with lawsuits. They were worried about less competition and higher prices. The deal includes a provision that the two companies cover 97% of the nation with a 5G network within 3 years. And this is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Like that, we're back with you as we come to you every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, fresh and independent we are. I am Bill Martinez. Lou Euler joins us in just a moment, but to open up, I wanted to read Penny Nance's statement about last night's State of the Union. She's the CEO and President of Concerned Women for America. She said, only one word describes the state of our union under President Trump: stellar. The President's speech shined much needed light on America's renewed greatness, a comeback the media has ignored in favor of anti-Trump controversies. The economy is booming with 7 million jobs and record unemployment. Gains have been made to protect unborn life. The right of every American to freely practice their faith without government intrusion has been defended. 187 constitutional judges and 2 Supreme Court justices have been confirmed and will defend the Constitution for decades to come. And we're finally treating our friend Israel as an ally and moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Our borders are defended against terrorists and drug cartels, despots and bad actors across the globe. Respect and fear America again and trust our red lines. There is no doubt America is experiencing the blessing of renewal, and President Trump's leadership has been frankly unimpeachable. You know, Lou Euler, I think that just about says it all. Redundant.
That's a well-put statement about the progress, but we've got to enter a new era now after all the progress that has been made on jobs and taxes, et cetera, now we have to start cutting spending in a serious way. The new CBO, the Congressional Budget Office Director, has said over the next 10 years, we're going to add dramatically to the deficit in America, and we're going to drown in spending unless we turn to that and begin to drain the swamp. And now we know we can drain the swamp of FBI and get some of those people out of there as well. So now we go to phase two of what Trump is all about, and that is really cleaning out the problems in Washington, D.C.
Well, I'm with you, Lou. We have been shouting from the timbers that the president needs to focus, after being reelected in November, on this deficit. We're $23 trillion and counting, and as I said to the the Secretary of the Interior, who, by the way, was, I don't know if you know, but he was the lone survivor. He was the one that drew the straw for the State of the Union, so they hid him away. But what a great guy he is. But, you know, I told him, I said, look at the president, as much as he focused on jobs in his first 4 years, and that was the first question he would ask people, how are we doing on jobs? How are we doing on jobs? I think the next 4 years he's got to change it to, how are we doing with the deficit? Because if the focus is on the deficit, we'll start to see it move in the right direction. By right direction, I'm not talking $23 trillion becoming $24. I'm talking $23 heading towards $21 and $20, and we start doing something about these entitlement reforms. But, you know, I also maintain, Lou, that the ultimate quid pro quo is what the Democrats have done with Republican presidents. They said, okay, fine, we'll let you rebuild the military and we'll give you $1 trillion, but we want $1 trillion of our own, you know, to satisfy our own interests. Well, that's quid pro quo. And that quid pro quo has gotten our budget up to $23 trillion. So if we're serious about quid pro quo and doing right, you know, by the way of the hardworking American citizen and patriots of our country, then we need to get out of this this for that and this entitlement stuff. But I think that the Democrats are going to take a heavy hit come November, and I think that's going to be an opportune time for this president and Republicans and conservatives to come together and really do something in a positive way to reduce the deficit and to address these critical issues like entitlement.
Absolutely, and we've entered the era where we must begin to talk about the right size, the optimal size of government. Ronald Reagan understood intuitively about limited government, that government has to be small to be effective. And right now, the U.S., federal, state, and the cost of regulation represent about 40% of GDP. Smart guys worldwide who've talked about the right size, which has developed over the last 25 years, is about 20% of GDP. We're about double the size we should be. And the recent Nobel laureate, Paul Romer, and his rule of 72 is absolutely on target in terms of maximizing economic growth rate of our nation for the benefit of all of our people. And we must get to 4% plus growth rate. So the combination of reducing the size of government and accelerating the growth rate are what are key to the future for all Americans at every level of earnings, et cetera.
Well, they also have to cut the spigot off that contributes to this. And the other contributor, again, speaking of quid pro quo and the campaign season right now, is you got Democrat presidential candidates out there offering, you know, free education. We'll give you free college. We'll give you free medical care. You know, we've got these green deals coming. Well, all that stuff contributes to the deficit. It adds more weight. It also adds to the size of government. And so basically what they're doing, Lou, is they're buying votes by offering this sort of thing. And then here it is, you know, the voter politic is being duped into supporting these candidates. And then they wonder why. why at the end of the day, you know, we're no longer at 23 trillion. Now we're at 30 trillion because they voted these people into office who bought our votes based on our treasury, which is based on the backs no longer on us, but on our kids and our grandkids.
You bet. And see, as we go through a transition period and the left's candidates for the presidency and for most offices are now talking open socialism.
Yes.
In other words, they're talking that America becomes a government entity instead of a private area for individual human beings as the founders intended.
Exactly.
Government small makes the private sector and the wealth of every individual expand and explode. So we've now entered this new era of discussion, and I think given the socialist orientation of the presidential candidates on the left, it is an ideal time to begin this debate.
Well, meanwhile, we're going to have to get through these next couple of months here, through the campaign season and the continued resistance by the Democrats. I mean, they're full Monty all out, trying to do everything they can to monkey up the works here. They didn't like much of the State of the Union because there's so much success about it and what President Trump presented and how he unified the body politic. It's probably one of the best State of the Union speeches I've ever heard, Lou. I don't know about you.
You bet. No, it was artfully done in terms of the substantive advances we've made as a nation. And I think his use and introduction of the folks that he introduced and presented, the warriors and the children and all the rest, was very, very well done. It was a well-developed presentation, an hour and a half that really is indelible on the minds of all those who listen to it.
Well, and to your point, Lou, it was unifying because of the breadth and of different people and different lives that they live and how they're contributing to the American dream, how the American dream is contributing to them. I mean, you can't come away from that speech and not be enthused about America's exceptionalism and that our greater days are yet ahead. Well, he's the president and founder of the National Tax Limitation Committee, Lou Euler, right here. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
You've heard it said, you don't know what you've been missing. Well, when it comes to nutritional components in your diet, maybe you need to know what you've been missing, especially if you want to feel good, not miss work, and get the most of each day. Then you need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mothers, helps our body recognize when we're under attack, and fights all those nasty microbes that we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstreams. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
Over the years, there have been so many people who have suffered from not having life insurance. It's not that they didn't care about protecting their loved ones. It's just that they didn't know why it's so important. If you died, how would your family pay the bills, the mortgage, let alone plan for a better future? This is what life insurance is all about, providing for your family even after you're gone. And level term coverage is the best option. It's not expensive and it's not complicated. You need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance protection, and you need to call ReliaQuote. They represent 15 of the top life insurance providers, and their agents are experts in helping you find the right policy for your needs. Protect your family. Give ReliaQuote a call for a free, no-hassle quote now. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. 800-478-0793. That's 800-478-0793.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
We don't see color here. We just love America.
Where this hurting, you show me what healing can do. Where this hatred, you show me how.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Silence of mountains and the crashing of the sea.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. As we've been talking, I've been looking forward to this conversation with Kevin Downs. Remember the last time we talked, we were talking about his hit movie, I Can Only Imagine. And coming up this spring, we've got a new good one. I still believe it's Jeremy Camp story. As you'll recall, we spoke with Jeremy a couple of months back. Kevin, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hey, Bill. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, what a project. You're producing I Still Believe, Jeremy Camp's story. Tell our audience about it.
Yeah, I Still Believe is it's the story of Jeremy Camp. It opens in theaters everywhere on March 13th. Our distribution partner, Lionsgate, they are literally they're putting everything they got into it. The release size is almost double the size of I Can Only Imagine, and everybody remembers how big that was. So it's exciting. The story's really, it's really inspirational. It's, you know, it's a young love story. It's the story of Jeremy Camp's story when he was around 18, 19, 20 years old, and how God led him into his worldwide ministry today of singing music and really inspiring audiences. And I think everybody, whether you're male, female, young or old, are really going to relate to it.
Yeah, no doubt, you know, tears will be shed, but like all instances when tears are shed, we realize there is a God of compassion who comes alongside and redeems, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's quite amazing because, you know, here he was a young kid and he met this girl and they fell in love and quickly they got married and then quickly she was diagnosed with cancer, and then he's kind of left with a decision of what do you do in the face when you believe that everything's not necessarily going to go your way. And he had such tremendous faith that his whole goal was really just to serve her in the midst of those circumstances. And she was really reluctant to allow him to do that, but that was what his heart was. And you know, at the end of the day, it's amazing how it all worked out and what transpired in the course of their relationship and in the course of their story, because I don't think we would have some of the great songs that we have that have come from him, a lot of great worship songs
Exactly.
come from him, without, you know, the struggles and the trials that he went through. And so we put all of it into a story, into a film, and we really hope audiences enjoy it and that they're moved by it.
Kevin, what was packed so much in that, about a year that they had together?
Yeah, I mean, it was almost a little bit less than that that they had together. You know, something miraculous happened where all the scans were clear, and then they went on their honeymoon, and then she just wasn't feeling right. And when they got back home, they went back in, and then the cancer was back. And so, you know, kind of go on that roller coaster ride. You're faced with some tough decisions, and your emotions kind of go all over the place. But he was so rooted in who he was and where God wanted him to be. It was just, it's inspiring just to see the story and to see that, you know, the actors that we have are so good.
I was going to say, wow.
KJ Apa plays Jeremy Camp, and he really bought into what it was that we're doing wholeheartedly. You know, he's a believer himself, and he just was really inspired by Jeremy and Melissa's story. Britt Robertson plays Melissa. She's amazing. I mean, the movie really pivots around her and her story, and just the way that she lives that out, the trials that she lives through are something that are really inspiring. So I'm really proud of the film. Out of my 20 plus years doing this, it's a film that I've wanted to do for the past 8 years, and it's just kind of worked out the way they did, after I can only imagine. And we saw how the audiences really responded to the true life stories of some of the Christian music heroes that we have. And so this was the next one that we wanted to do.
Well, speaking of the cast, Shania Twain and Gary Sinise as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, Shania Twain and Gary Sinise, they played Jeremy's parents. They are, what a treat to work with both of them. It's what Gary does for our troops around the world and for families of our troops, was that we just had to have him be a part of this, because his essence is kind of what this story is, and he was really thrilled to be a part of it. And Shania is really great. A lot of, obviously, everybody knows her music. Mm-hmm. But again, the cast, you know, they bought into what the script was, and it's not just kind of a thing for them. They really got to buy into the story that we're trying to tell, and they're totally on board, and they're really proud of the film.
Well, now Jeremy, at this point, had already gone through Bible college, right?
Yeah, so the movie covers right before he enters Bible college. He went to school out in California in a little town called Marietta, Calvary Chapel, Marietta.
Right, I was very familiar with it when we talked about it. He brought that up. I said, I'm a Southern California boy.
Okay.
And Pastor Chuck, I was at blessed to be at his feet to learn wisely the Word of God and his preaching and what he did at Marietta. So when he mentioned that he had been out there to attend Bible college, we connected right away.
Yeah. So we keep true to that. And obviously they met while he was in college. And so most of the film takes place during those college years.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of get to see the story unfold in that environment.
Well, and as you say, so much of who Jeremy is today, the songs that came out of the pain and the questioning and the fear of that experience and that part of his life, today, in much the same way, like I can only imagine when you appreciate the backstory, it really adds a dimension to the music that we've been singing along with Jeremy Camp for all these years. And I sense that there's going to be a rebirth of those songs as a result of the movie.
Yeah, I think so. And I think one of the things, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Christian music, so I don't just make the movies, but my radio dial is tuned into Christian music all day, every day. And so I love the fact that there are so many people that have yet to discover the stories behind these great artists.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn that, by making I Can Only Imagine. And Jeremy's story and what we tell and I Still Believe is something that is just so undeniable that it has to be told. I'm really proud of him, most of all, because, the music comes from, the trials and the struggles that they go through. It's what makes the music so great. But to be able to kind of have your story told, you know, in a movie for the world to see, I don't think it's an easy thing. and he was willing to, you know, the way we craft the scripts, we do them off of interviews. And so Jeremy and his wife, Adi, they did literally 2 days worth of interviews, and that's, you know, basically recreating the story as it happened. And that's how we create the screenplay and ended up making the movie. And so it's something that everybody's going to be inspired by. I mean, if my mom and my wife aren't inspired, then it's not necessarily worth it.
Exactly.
I got to make it for everybody. So, people are going to enjoy it.
Well, Kevin, you know, you mentioned Adi and, Jeremy since remarried, they have 3 children together and, you know, and people, understandably would say, well, how's Adi's response to this and watching, you know, the story of, you know, his first marriage?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the first things that we asked her, and her response is so quick, and it's very firm. She goes, you know, I'm really protective of Jeremy and Melissa's story. She really took ownership in it.
Wow.
And, you know, the night that we showed the film to their whole family, it was really a special moment because, you know, so we got to witness Jeremy and Adi explain to their kids kind of why this happened and why they're so significant, and that they wouldn't be here with them if the story hadn't happened. And it really just kind of placed it in a perspective that really made sense. And I had tears in my eyes. I was really like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. But I, you know, they're such great teachers. They're such great friends, and they just have such a heart for the Lord. It's really inspiring to see that. You know, you want the good guys to win, and I love making films that kind of give that a shot.
Well, this is, you know, a movie, a redemptive movie that reminds everybody that God's hand is active in our lives. He's watching out for us. You know, he tells us to pursue peace, but also at the same time, God is pursuing peace for us. And I believe that in this movie, I still believe that we're going to see undeniable aspects of God's hand in people's lives.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, sometimes it can be tough to watch some of the difficult things, and people are like, you know, I don't necessarily want to live through that, but I can tell you that the hope that is on the other side of it is something that we all need to hear. I mean, even in my own life, it's like I get so inspired. I've seen the movie obviously 200 or 300 times because you're making it, but but in my own life, I still get inspired by, even though I've seen it so many times, by the hope and the inspiration, the redemption that is so prevalent in the story, and it's why I love making the films. I mean, I over the weekend actually had the privilege to kind of share it with my own pastor, and he was just in tears, and he was just like, this is going to change so many lives. That was his first comment
out
of his mouth. And that's the point. You know, we want to entertain, and we're making entertaining content. But at the end of the day, we really want to impact people's lives for the better. And I think I still believe he's going to do that. So we're excited about it.
Kevin, movies like this, how do you discover them? Or are you just, you're thankful that God just brings it to your doorstep? How do these stories come about?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's a God. I mean, literally the last 2 films are a God thing. And, you know, Jeremy Camp's story is something I knew about for about 8 years and was starting to develop it, and the timing just wasn't right. And but I knew the story itself was just so undeniable. And when we got into filming, I can only imagine Bart Millard's story. I couldn't stop thinking about Jeremy Camp's story. I'm like, man, God, if this works, that's the story we've got to tell next, because it's something that people are going to want so bad. And was really cool. Obviously, when I Can Only Imagine came out, there was just this hunger and this desire for these redemptive stories like that. And we're really pleased with it.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. www.jeremycamp.com.